How many of you brought your Bible? See if you brought a Bible. This is the most important book you're going to ever run into in your life. And it's God-breathed, it's God-inspired. In fact, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to just commend you to His Word. My goal is to strengthen you with His Word. The entrance of His Word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. And it says here, and this is interesting, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is his young protege, who became a great leader and pastor and one of the only people that really stood by him when everybody else abandoned him. And Paul had a real great relationship. He called him a son in the faith. And he said, they're evil men and imposters and deceivers and so forth. You, however, continue, it says in verse 14, in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And listen to this, verse 15, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture is God-breathed. It's God-inspired. It's divine. God's word, there's an inerrancy to the word. The original texts that have been discovered by archaeology, the 2,000 years of church history, the canonization of the scriptures where leaders that God had put together came and evaluated things based on a certain criteria. The Holy Spirit was on top of it. He has been on top of it. The creator of all the stars and all the solar systems and all the galaxies can take care of a book for a couple of thousand years. And He's watched over His word and He's given it to us and delivered it to us. And we are people of the book. And it says that it's inspired by God. And, you know, there's been much ridicule and the Bible has endured much suspicion and belittlement. I noticed this today on the cover of the current Time magazine, why we should teach the Bible in public school. It says, but very, very carefully. And it says the Cliff Notes, the Bible, you know, and I just got it handed to me. I saw it last night in the bookstore. Basically, what's happened is there's been an experiment since the 60s, and it's just completely failed. And culture has just gone down the tubes. And so now they're going, hey, maybe in a real cautious way, we can bring the Bible back. The reason they say it should be taught is because it is the foundation of Western civilization. That's what they're saying. Should the Holy Book be in the public school menu? Yes, because it's the bedrock of Western culture. Well, we know it's not just the bedrock of Western culture. We know that it is God-breathed and God-inspired. And that ought to make you excited. In fact, I want to go to a couple of places in the Word. I want to go to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. And then we're going to go to the Psalm 19. We're going to go to Isaiah 55. And I thought about this while it was raining today. Did you notice it was raining? God has this whole cool system where water just keeps getting recycled. And it's for a purpose. And the Bible uses this imagery in this chapter. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, listen to me, and you will live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. The other day I went and visited somebody in the hospital and we talked a little bit. And then I went over to a shoe store to go get some inserts for my shoes. And I sat down and I was waiting and this guy looks over at me. He goes, hey, you that Jesus guy from television? I went, yeah. And he went, oh, man, and he laughed, and he told his girlfriend. And then he said, man, I yell at you. I said, you don't cuss, do you? He goes, yeah, I do. I'm afraid so. I said, you don't throw anything at the TV. He said, no, no. I said, well, don't ruin your TV. It was a shoe store, so the salesman was gone. So I got the little bench that has the wheels, and I just wheeled right up to him. So I started talking. I said, where are you going to go to church for Easter? He goes, well, I'm not. He says, I might go visit my grandma. She'll go to church for me. I said, it doesn't work that way. So then as I talked to him, you know, right in the middle of me talking to him, he goes, I don't think much about Jesus. I said, okay, but you know, what about that? You know that emptiness that sometimes is filled and sometimes isn't? And he went, yeah. He admitted that. And that's what it says in this verse. It says, why do you pursue what doesn't satisfy? You know, he's like, he's playing with me about Jesus and stuff. And then he goes, I won't yell at you anymore. You seem to be a pretty good guy. And I said, you know, I said, well, all you're yelling at me didn't hurt me at all. I didn't know about it till today. It still doesn't even bother me. The lady goes, I thought you were that preacher. She said, have you heard of menopause? And I said, yeah, I've lived through it. But anyway, she said, no, I mean the play. And she said, I'm so-and-so in the play. I want to give you some free tickets. So she gave me free. She said, you're that preacher, aren't you? Praise God. It was an interesting little moment at the shoe store. But man, that's what got the guy. He's trying to dismiss me about the Jesus thing, but he could not deny the fact that God has set eternity in our heart, and there was a void that was on the inside of him. This is what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, why do you go and spend your time, efforts, and energies on things that don't really satisfy? He said, listen and you that you may live. He said, incline your ear and come to me. That's the Lord drawing Israel to God and to his holy word. Now let's go down to verse 6 and through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and they do not return without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout. Patsy said, Jeff, look outside. All the leaves are green. She said, that's freaking me out. I said, well, Patsy, it's spring. She said, I know, but it was like yesterday they were bare. And now, and I said, you watch what'll happen now that it just had that rain. It's going to get green, man. Why? Because God has this system. He sends rain, and what does it do? It waters the earth. It replenishes the earth, making it bare and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. Listen, we're in springtime, and we're watching the bare trees bud. We're watching the dead grass turn green. We're watching a process that's taking place that God said as long as things are going on, there's going to be seed time and harvest. And he says basically, look, the water comes down on the earth. It says the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without doing what they're supposed to do. They come down for a purpose and they do the thing and then it's done. And it makes it bear and sprout. It germinates and it causes budding and sprouting and it causes life and development and so forth. And he says, so will my word be. Okay, so we know that just as the rain that just came down and moistened all the ground here in Missouri and caused a tremendous replenishment, we had a really good rain today, it's going to cause sprouting and growth. So his word does the very same thing. It goes forth from his mouth. It will not return to him empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Listen, God has never had a broken success record. His success record is absolutely flawless, and his accomplishments are perfect. And so he sends his word, and I just read it to you, that it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that we as people of God can be adequate, fully equipped, geared up, wired for the fruitfulness that he's called us to. As much as the grass just benefited from the water, we take in the word and it does not return empty. He sent his word. It says in Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. The centurion said, just speak the word only. And we know these are sacred writings. We know Moses delivered the oracles of God, and we know God watches over his word to perform it. He told Jeremiah that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. For you will go out with joy. You will be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth with shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's pretty exciting. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. Listen, God's word has a life of its own. And when you and I get into the word, it is going to accomplish and succeed in the matter for which it's sent. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God's word is so powerful. Did you see this? They're saying why we should teach the Bible in public school. The world's fickle and crazy. They're going, no, 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 no. Boy, we need the Bible. We do. We live by it. And here's the thing. You're going to get a hold of what I'm teaching you, and it's going to give you a hunger for the Word of God. I pray this message is basically an appetizer to get you aware of the Word that comes forth from God. It's profitable. It succeeds in the matter for which it's sent. It brings accomplishment that the man or woman of God may be fully equipped. There was a guy in the Bible. The Bible says he was mighty in Scripture. That's a pretty cool distinction. Apollos, that was Apollos. Or as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God's word is definitely something to focus on. God's word, it says, in fact, in Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The word has a cleansing power. John 17:17 says, set them apart, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Ephesians 5:26 says, to make her holy, cleansing her with the washing with water through the word. He does that to the church. Husbands are to do that with their wives. We're to do that with one another. We're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. 1 Peter 1:22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. There's a purity and a purifying power that comes from the word. It has a purpose, and in fact, there are a number of things here. There are items that God has laid out here in Psalm 19. I want to review these. Verse 7, remember it says that it does not return empty without accomplishing what it's sent to do. God sent his word to heal. God sent his word to reveal the kingdom. In the beginning was the word. Listen, even Time Magazine is admitting the Bible should be taught in public school. When I was in school, they were taking the Bible out of the school. Then they had to put the Bible in prisons because that's where everybody went because they stopped obeying the Bible. So their Bible's in the prison. So now they're getting them back in school. And it cycles and it cycles and it cycles. It cycles and it cycles, and people have all these opinions. They're all up in arms. Don't you get that Bible out there. Then they go, please send Bibles. And, you know, so what do? We are people of the book. We're committed to walk the word. We're not Bible thumpers with some sort of a thing like that. We want it to dwell in us richly. We want to actually live it. The word is alive, and the entrance of it gives light and brings understanding. You ever had your mind get kind of weirded out? You ever need some mental restoration? Sure, the law of the Lord, it says in verse 7, the law of the Lord, which is the word of the Lord, is perfect, restoring the soul. The original manuscripts, the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic that was brought forth, God has meticulously brought forth for us. There's external evidence, as I said, with archaeology. In fact, you know, with all the Jewish, Russian Jews that exodus out of Russia in the last 25 years, I went to Israel in 1978. When I went back there in 1998, 30th anniversary, the 50th anniversary, within that 25-year period, I was told by our guides and by others that in the last 25 years, more has been discovered than in any time prior in the history of Israel. Because they didn't have petrodollars, so they just had shovels, and they started digging. They started finding all kinds of cool stuff. They found Cornelius's house. They find all kinds of great stuff. A few years ago, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, which confirmed a lot out of Isaiah and so forth. You know, there's external evidence, there's internal evidence. I'll tell you what evidence I have. Jesus changed my life. Yeah. Nobody's taken that away from me. It has been road tested, baby. I got saved when I was 16. I'm 51 years old. It's been tested a time or two. Persecution arises for the word's sake. And yet the word stands firm. It's forever settled in heaven. And it's perfect. And it restores your soul. It restores your soul. What did Psalm 23:3 say? The Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. You know what soul restoration is? Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, and I love this, by the renewing of your mind. I noticed this the other day when I was reading an area of Scripture, and as I was reading the Scripture, It was a point of history. It was, in fact, the story of Jehoshaphat out of 2 Chronicles. It was amazing to me how much life-changing, life-giving light and truth poured out, the principles of it, the effect of what God had done for those people. It roused a sense of God's faithfulness, and it surged my trust toward Him. It sort of assured me that things are going to be okay. When I read that part where he says, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, it's like, yeah, yeah. And I sort of hitched my wagon on that. I saw the principles of that, and I thought, God took care of those people. He's faithful today. He knows how to take care of His people. He's in the take care of His people business. It's what the Bible's talking all about, all from the beginning to the end. And the psalmist basically is saying here, He restores my soul. Has anybody ever kind of thought, I'm bordering on flipping out? And then you get away, God brings you through, and you go back and go, man, that was a close call. I was getting weird. Whoa, I don't even want to look back there. That was a different person. Well, God knows how to bring spiritual strength and healing because His word is pure and it's perfect. Oh, it's exciting, you guys. It's exciting, man. In fact, just let this minister to your soul. I pray it just brings a hunger in your heart for the Word. Psalm 19, verse 7, it says, it restores the soul. What is your soul? Your soul, apparently, it's called psuche in the Greek. It's your mind, your emotions, your will, your thinking faculties, what you would call your feelings, your internal, your emotions and your feelings. How many of you notice those things need restoration? Oh, yeah. And you know what does it? The Word. The Word. See, and God said, I sent it just like I sent the rain. I watched the rain today. I mean, I love this rain today. It was a beautiful rain. Hawaii has the best rain, however, in the world. You can watch a video of Hawaii rain and just go, man, you know, I wouldn't even mind getting caught in that. Sometimes in Missouri, it comes sideways. You ever see the motorcyclists underneath the bridges because it's coming sideways? Some of that Missouri rain has got a sting to it. But today it was just coming down. It came down all day. It's replenishing. I mean, the lawn is not going to have dead spots. The trees are just going, hallelujah. You know, the pond is filling up. It's cool. You know, the birds are happy. Ducks are flying around going, this is awesome. And we've even got people in Time Magazine saying, I think we need to teach the scriptures in the school. Now, let's not preach it, though. Western civilization hinges on it. It's not just Western civilization is built on it. The Bible says the world is framed by the Word of God. His Word is life to those who find it and health to their whole bodies. And it does not return empty without accomplishing what it's been said to do. You guys, I became a Christian because somebody preached the Word to me and God confirmed it in my heart. God brought conviction to me through the Scriptures. I've been in meeting after meeting where, I mean, even in the middle of the night, I turned on the television at 3:15 in the morning, and somebody was preaching, and it was time delayed, obviously recorded another time, and I listened to what this person had to say, and I mean, man, this was a moment of definition. While this person was preaching, clarity was coming into my spirit. I didn't care about this insomnia moment. I didn't care about all the worries, because the worries had to give way to the restorative power of the Word that was being preached. And this person was just quietly, simply preaching and quoting verse after. In fact, the message was saturated with a lot of scriptures. It wasn't a lot of, like, you know, references to poems and TV shows and stuff. It was like the Word was presented, man. And it was, I would just listen, and it was like, yeah, and revelation was coming. The law of the Lord is perfect. See, all scripture is inspired by God. It has a spark to it. It has life to it. Usually, directors and actors have to lift the story up because the writing is usually weak and flat and average. So they're so excited when they run into real strong writing that they don't have to lift. When they find superior writing, everybody recognizes they have a hit on their hands. You guys, we have found superior writing. This has energy to it. This has life to it. This has lift to it. We don't have to lift it. In fact, Paul said, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. He said, my preaching was not in the persuasive words of man's wisdom or cleverness of speech, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. He just basically knew you don't have to put a lift on this. You guys, we have run into the law of the Lord, which is perfect. We need to just take hold of it and act on it. He said it will definitely guarantee not return empty without accomplishing what it's been sent to do. As the rain comes down on the earth, back in 1972, the gospel hit me like gentle rain, and it revolutionized my whole world. I am a totally different person because of the Word of God and the simplicity of the preaching. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I have had my mind and my soul restored infinite times because the fact is the entrance of His Word gives light. Yeah. It brings us into peace. The testimony of the Lord is a sure thing. It's sure. Making wise the simple. Yeah. How many of you ever got to a place where you didn't know what to do? Listen, let me tell you something. Let you in on a secret. The kingdom is built on the extraordinary supernatural God calling ordinary people to take hold of His extraordinariness and do the miraculous. And nothing we are called to do can be manufactured by our own power. We are way over our heads on this. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Everybody say sure. How many of you love the word sure? Guys. It's like, my kids love it. Hey, Dad, can Micah spend the night? Sure. Yeah. Dad, can we go get some Dippin' Dots? Sure. You know, that type of thing. Sure is a great word. Sure. You sure about that? Sure. Well, God's word is sure. God's word is sure. As much doubt has been sown to refute the word, it stands and is forever settled in heaven, man. And it makes wise the simple. I tell you what, you get a hold of the word of God, it'll make you look so smart. And you'll be able to walk around and go, wow. And you'll know, it'll humble you. You won't go like, yeah, I'm awesome. No, you'll go, no, wait, whoa, I know where my help came from. Listen, there are business inventions, there are business strategies that are just laying right above your head. That in this book, God's going to electrify something to you, and He's going to give you a now like a rhema, inspired directive from the throne of God. Amen. And He's going to give you a word, and He's going to help you to act on it. And when you're a doer of the word, you'll be blessed in whatever you do. Amen. It says this word, it does not return empty without accomplishing what it's been sent to do. Like the rain and the snow come to water the earth and cause germination and cause seeds to grow. Water hydrates. Have you ever been thirsty? My dad used to make us do like turbo yard work. And he'd reward us like with a pitcher of ice water. But I mean, man, you know, I was a soda guy. But when the water came, and I mean, it had just a remarkable, a wonderful quality to it. I'm a little like 8-year-old child labor slave. And I'm drinking this water, working like 12 straight hours in the yard. I mean, I remember drinking that water and it was like, oh man, refreshing. Keep your thumb in Psalm 19 and back up, but go to Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Look, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Might as well say he loves the Bible. Say that, I love my Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. What does meditate mean? Ponder, think about. You know how come Sir Isaac Newton figured out gravity? Because it was said that he thought about it all the time. You know why Joshua and Caleb succeeded? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. That you would be careful to do all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous and have good success. I'm talking to somebody in here. Some of you got locked up and you're not even interested in the Bible anymore. The devil's working overtime to choke the word and make it unfruitful in your life. The most powerful force in the universe, he's trying to get worries and cares and getting dullness and numbness going in your life so you'll back off. But I'll tell you what, you could get right back in the word. Just open it right up and you'll start right up from where you were. God will bring healing to you. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by what? Streams of water, which yields its fruit when? In its season. And its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Listen, I do not want any withering leaves. with these plants here, I come in here with my pocket knife, and if I see a bunch of withering leaves, I'm the guy that comes in and cuts them out. I don't like dead withering leaves on plants. Because my dad tortured me with yard work, and I still have some residual. I just don't. And I'm going to tell you something, too. I get around believers that I see are getting their souls bombarded. I see people get their edges of their leaves are kind of withering. I want to do everything in my part that I can to preach some type of refreshment. Yeah, and you know, I've preached some dry sermons. And the reason I preach dry sermons is because I've gotten away from the Word. And I've also gotten in the Word and had just amazing living water flow through me. I've had some dry seasons in my life. It's not God's fault. God's rain keeps coming down. His Word is a continue hydration system right here. It is absolutely fantastic. And His leaf does not wither. You know, withering is a bummer. In fact, it says in John chapter 15 that the branches will be cut off and they'll wither and people will carry them away. I've noticed this. When I'm pulling away from fellowship with Jesus and I'm not in the degree of connection with the Word like I should be, people carry me away. People issues carry me away. I wither. I've been carried away in so many people issues. And I know that I can be only effective in the issues of people if I'm really abiding. He said, abide in me and my word abides in you. And you'll ask whatever you will. It'll be done for you by my Father who's in heaven. You guys, this is where the nations get changed. This is where the anointing comes forth in power. This is where we stop being weird and we start cultivating change and growth. This is where we're not overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. This is where we get the power over temptation. Because he said, I've treasured the word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It puts a tenacity on the inside of you. It strengthens you. Strength comes from the word of God. It says, whatever he does, he prospers. You want to know what I believe in God for the members of this church? Soul prosperity. I pray you prosper and you're in health as your soul prospers. I'm convinced we rise and fall based on the word. The word intake and the word output. As we stand on the word of God, the Bible says we'll be blessed in whatever we do. Amen. I want to see some blessing mount up on people. Amen. I hear the story about this couple. Well, first of all, here's the testimony on these guys. Young couple driving down to Georgia, fell asleep at the wheel, slammed into one of those gigantic Georgia trees. Both got ejected or one got ejected. He got ejected. She was how many months pregnant? 5 months pregnant, first child. I mean, they came in here, their legs were all busted up with pins and plates, and they were in his and her wheelchairs. They came rolling into church, and I went, that's how I met them. And they had his and her wheelchairs, and we'd wheel them in, and they'd sit there, and they were a living testament of angelic blessing and favor and grace. How fast did they think she was hired? 90 miles per hour. Because she fell asleep, and she really slammed on the gas and then hydroplaned and picked up some speed. 90 miles per hour. The guy got delivered from death. He's alive from the dead. And their little baby's fine. They got so excited about it, they went and had another baby. And by the way, I've been invited into a few stories in here, and the bounce back ability in the church is incredible. And the mind renewing power of the word of God. Listen, he told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, being careful. Listen, this is not a condemning thing. I got to read my Bible. I really don't like to read. Oh, man. Oh, okay, I hope this works. Oh, man. No, I pray this stimulates your appetite. We went over to a Mexican restaurant last night. I got a chip, put a little extra salt on it, put some hot stuff on it. The real hot stuff, not the little sissy stuff. It's like thick ketchup. I got the real stuff that made where my sinuses got all fixed and my eyes rolled back. I broke into a sweat. My hair stood up. I pray that's happening to you tonight in this word. So I don't want any leaves withering around here. I don't want any withering. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right. It's right. Rejoicing the heart. There is just not enough laughter in the earth. And a merry heart does good like a medicine. Amen. And circumstances, they don't always bring joy. Circumstances can bring pain and drudgery, difficulty and hardship. As the Bible says, there'd be many tribulations. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you what, we could turn to the word and realize, go to Romans 8:28 and realize that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I talked to Lester Sumrall's secretary 2 or 3 days after he died. He was scheduled to come here to preach 28 days later. He didn't quite make that appointment. He had a higher appointment. She said, you know, I've worked for him for 35 years. Said, I'd look in his office and he'd be in there reading his Bible. Reading his Bible. Reading his Bible. That guy prospered. At 74 years old, he started a food program. And I got to stand on a field with him with a multitude of Shona Africans in Zimbabwe as he gave out tons of food. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. You get away from the Word and you look at all your circumstances, that's grim. You turn back to the Scriptures and you realize that it does not return void without accomplishing what it's been sent to do. It's going to change the way you look in life. You're going to realize, hey, wait a minute, with God, all things are possible. Everything good that's ever happened to this church came because of this book. Everything good that's going to happen in the remainder of our days on this earth, prosperity comes to the degree that we take heed to His Word. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes, purity, crystal clear, 100%. Untainted, undiluted, unadulterated, pure. The Word is pure, powerful truth. And it enlightens the eyes. You know, we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Pray the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. What is enlightenment? It's where revelation comes. A lot of people don't understand this, but God operates in a thing called revealed knowledge. He brings revelation. Now, we see it with Mary with a visitation of an angel. But as realistically as she had an enlightenment, we have continued availability for enlightenment. As we turn to the Word, God will bring light. His Word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. The teaching is a light and the commandment is a lamp. The entrance of His Word gives light. Light excels darkness. We know God is light. In Him there is no darkness. We know that those who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Societies and cultures have risen or fallen based on how they approach this book. And Time magazine is now saying cautiously, we better start teaching the Bible again in public school because it is the bedrock of Western civilization. It's more than that. It is God's Word. I don't really care if they teach it in public school or not, because I'm going to teach it here and we're going to change the world. The church is going to change the world. The public school system is basically an experiment over the last 200 and something years, and it's, you know, whatever. I mean, a lot of people freak out and we start championing causes that aren't the issue. The issue is, it's not let's go badger everybody to go do this or that and put the Ten Commandments in a building or do this or that. No, we live the Ten Commandments in our lives. We walk this thing out so real that it creates its own element of revival. That we see prosperity and the exercise of faith and the glorification of Jesus and an abundance coming down on men and women. The revolution in this city is going to be from believers taking hold of the promises of God, taking hold of the Word and getting their minds renewed and getting their path lit up, getting the fuzziness eliminated and clarity coming. Let me tell you something. I want to say this. God has been helping me lately. And fog has been parting. And what do I attribute it to? People praying for me. The faithfulness of God and His Word is like a sword. And it has, you know, you've heard it's so thick you could cut it with a knife. There's so much fog, it needed to be cut with a knife. And the Bible says His Word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Some of you are in a fog right now. You've grown a bit dull. Your heart has drifted. But His Word doesn't return void. And I'm telling you, you return back to, and I commend you to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up, which is able to give you the inheritance. I commend you to just get the Bible. Like Billy Graham said, just sit down and read it and just watch what God does with it. Just go and read the Bible. Put it everywhere. I was listening to James Earl Jones reading Acts chapter 17. Darth Vader reading the Bible is effective, man. I listen to my little phone, has iTunes, and I plugged in 100 songs. And I've got all of Psalm 119. I've got Ephesians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I got 1 and 2 Timothy. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When was the last time you got involved with something that was permanent and alive forever? It's the Word, man. Come on. Some of you guys that have raised your kids, you sow the seed in them. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. He's watching over His Word to perform it. If enough of us just get where we get out of the path of the whole other alternate reality and we say, God, I'm basing my life on Your Word. What does the Word say about this? What does the Word say about the church? He said He's going to build it, man. He says He's got a plan for it. He's coming back to a glorious church. What does the Word say about preaching? It's the foolishness of the preaching that pleases God. I go to the shoe store and the guy's mocking me. But man, I'm not daunted by it. Because it's like, oh, wait a minute. I got his attention. The lady before me, she said, oh yeah, my husband sees you. And so that guy's trying to get me to go to church again. And he tries to find the remote. I said, he never gets the thing turned off, does he? I said, no, actually it's over by the time he gets the remote. I said, it's remote proof. I said, does he have a cell phone? Because I'd like to give him a message. She said, he doesn't have a cell phone. I was going to call him. I'm thinking about doing a TV spot with his name on it. He's saying, hey, yeah, you need to get saved, man. Or, hey, guy with a girlfriend, why are you cussing at me, man? Shit, shouldn't I? By the way, I try to mention Jesus' name in every one of those spots so it doesn't just sound like New Age sort of God talk, and it's really about the gospel. I talk about sin, I talk about hell, heaven. I try to get the gospel in 10 to 15 seconds. But every year, about 200 million impressions go out into our city because I want to make Jesus known. I'm not trying to beat the drum saying, come to family church. You come to family church if you're supposed to, but there are wonderful God-ordained churches all through the city. The bigger picture is I want to saturate this place with the Word of God. I want Jesus to be known in our city. I want the city to be a praise in the earth. I want you guys to succeed in the matter for which you've been called and set apart. Get your Bible. I went out and I got somebody to make me a really nice Bible cover, and I put a zipper on it, and I got my pen here. It's made out of an oak tree that got hit during Katrina by the hurricane. And it busted off a bunch of big limbs. It's like a 300, 200-year-old tree. And it sprouted back. And so a guy down there made a pen out of a live oak tree. So that's very precious to me because we've done so much work down there. So I have that with me about rebirth. So even my pen speaks of hope. You know what else I have? I have a highlighter. You see that yellow? That's when I get Rev. Rev is short for revelation. The entrance of His Word gives light. How are you going to get revelation if you don't let it enter? And listen, let's beef up Bible intake. Now you can hear a message like this and go, oh, he's telling me to read the Bible. You sound like that guy. Oh, he's telling me to go to church. Thing that's cool though, the lady was a nurse. She said, yeah, I go to church. I pray for my husband all the time. And I said, just how agitated I'm getting, and that's one of my goals. It's one of the responses I'm out for. It's either make people glad or mad. You know, it's not just passive. You know, one guy's cussing me out. You know, the other guy's trying to get the remote. We're being effective. We're not in a popularity contest. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It restores the soul. There's some things in here that could have taken us out. I remember when that flood hit, we were both sucker punched and really down. That news was dreadful. When we lost Kent Cross, I mean, just as a whole church family, I mean, his dad's here, we're coming up on the anniversary. That's a huge, huge loss. But as we read the Word, we know that that was our worst day. It was actually, biblically, an amazing surge forward for that young man who was living on the height of his game. 4 mission trips in one summer, winning souls, praying, being an amazing example, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Yes, that does extract some of the sting. I mean, I still cry over my dad 3 years later. I still miss my grandma 20 years later. Death is an enemy. But God, from His Word, brings legitimate, forceful, soul-restoring comfort. Because it's not just like, oh God, He'll help me through it. No, we didn't lose them because we know where they went. present with the Lord. And then we read, oh, in his presence there's fullness of joy. So he's not there. It's not morbid and melancholy there. They're not just going, could that angel on that cloud play another harp song for me? Those lions and those lambs, that's cool. You're laying there together. Great. Forever. Great. It's like the Discovery Channel. Wow. Now heaven's going to be an amazing situation. I pray you prosper and you're in health as your soul prospers. I pray our church has soul prosperity. Isn't that amazing that the directors and actors have to lift a script out of average? But when they find real engaging writing, they're thrilled. We found engaging writing, you guys. The sacred writings. Able to build you up, give you the inheritance. There's a story I read as a young pastor of a plane crash in Tenerife where a man had been learning about standing on the Word of God and the promises of God. Plane crashed into another plane. In the plane this man was in, the fuselage ripped open. He was sitting in a seat, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He took his seatbelt off, and he stepped out into the aisles, and as he started to walk, he kept saying, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He all of a sudden saw a piece of debris fly at him, a flaming piece of debris, and he said he just instinctively put up his arm, and it deflected off of him. And then he looked over to the sides, and people were screaming, engulfed in flames, cursing God. But he kept saying, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He was a believer, and he understood God's word was true. And God's, he didn't have time to figure out a scripture corresponding to the specific moment. He just said, "I stand on your word." He saw a hole in the top of the plane, and he said he jumped up and grabbed the jagged edge and pulled himself all the way out. He was out of shape, over 200-something pounds. I'm sure some adrenaline was involved, but "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He got up to the top of the plane. He walked over to the wing. He saw people jumping off, and they'd land, and they would die. So he went out there, and he stood at the end of the wing. He jumped off, and he said, "Father, in Jesus' name, I stand on your word." He landed on his feet. He just fractured a bone in his foot, walked out into the field, and got totally delivered. It's kind of like, as for me in my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. We're going to stand on God's word. We're going to stand on the conviction that it's pure, it's right, it's true, it's profitable. He said it does not return void without accomplishing what it's been sent to do. Psalm 107, verse 20. Let's look at this as we close. Psalm 107, verse 20. This covers everything because it restores the soul, the gospel. When we preach the gospel, he confirms it. Faith comes by hearing. Look at verse 19. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Follow that? So, get in Psalm 19 and meditate on that breakdown. Read that. Take hold of it. Meditate on it. Go into the book of Romans, Ephesians, and some of those saturated epistles to the church, and just let it roll over you and renew you and restore you. If you're struggling, go into Psalms. If you need direction, go into Proverbs. If you want to get your mind blown, read Daniel and Revelation. Just whatever. You want to get, you know, just God's so good. Okay, everybody get your Bible. Hold it up. Say, "This is my Bible. It's God's word. It's alive. I believe in it. I'm taking hold of the promises. I'm renewing my commitment to be a Bible person, to walk in the word, and to be a doer of the word. I want to get mighty in scripture. I'm learning. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. He leads me and guides me into all the truth. His word is true. I love the word. It's my meditation all the day. I rejoice over it. It's better than gold and diamonds." Amen. All right. God bless you.